National politics dominated much of the discussion. McSally repeatedly touted the successful economy, which she said was on fire thanks to Republican tax cuts.
I voted to cut your taxes, providing the opportunity for about $2,000 per Arizona family, more money in their pockets instead of going to Washington, D.C.
Sinema said the cuts, which she opposed, had led to deficit spending and argued that President Trump's tariffs against China were having a devastating effect on Arizona's agricultural industry. Both candidates were asked about their support of Trump's legislative agenda. McSally said she was proud to work with the president, while Sinema attributed her votes for Republican legislation as proof of a willingness to reach across the aisle.
I often do vote against my own party, and that's something I think Arizonans depend on and are proud of. They want an independent voice in the United States Congress.
But McSally sought to cast her opponent as a far-left candidate, closing the debate by accusing Sinema of treason. Jimmy Jenkins, KJZZ News, Phoenix.
The two candidates vying for retiring Senator Jeff Flake's seat squared off in a debate on Monday night. KJZZ's Jimmy Jenkins was at the PBS studios in downtown Phoenix to see Martha McSally and Kyrsten Sinema go head-to-head for the only time before the November 6th election. Jimmy, what were some of your takeaways from this? Did you actually learn anything, or did it seem like the candidates were kind of playing roles, playing defense?
Yeah, defense. I think that's accurate. I don't think we learned anything new about policy positions. It was more interesting to watch them react to the questions, react to each other. McSally was challenging Sinema right out of the gate, more on the attack, I would say. Sinema tried to play a cooler sort of foil to McSally. She said, it's good to see you, Martha, at the start of the debate. And then I thought it was interesting to hear the candidates talk about their views on the Trump administration.
Yeah, the president remains popular in the state, won the state, and he's coming to town on Friday.
Exactly. McSally bragged that she would be welcoming the president this week. Both candidates have a record of voting with the president, but here was a slight difference between the two for their reasoning. McSally just flat out said she was proud to support the president. She said, hey, look at the economy, look at jobs numbers. This president supports the military. She said he was responsive to her on the A-10 warthog issue. Of course I'm going to support this president.
But even though Sinema's a Democrat, she also had some support for the president.
Yes, votes for his agenda more than half of the time. But her reasoning was that it shows she's willing to be an independent voice.
I've been serving for many years in the United States Congress and before that in the legislature, and have over time been able to grow and become even better at my job serving Arizonans. And folks know in Arizona, I'll always put their interests first, never party. I often do vote against my own party, and that's something I think Arizonans depend on and are proud of.
And Jimmy, the candidate spent a lot of time talking about border security. Did anything stand out about that part of the conversation?
Yes, there was a lot of talk about the candidates' positions on immigration, what they could or should have done about Trump's zero-tolerance policy on family separations. McSally said the president was put in an untenable situation, but he has to protect the rule of law. She said she hears from border ranchers all the time, and they're telling her that this is a big problem.
Look, the reality is the cartels know right now that if you show up with a kid, you're going to be let go. I got a call this weekend from the Yuma mayor saying he was panicked that 200 or more people every single day were going to be just let go into Yuma, and they didn't have the capacity because they showed up with a kid, and we're seeing the activity increase every single week. As they cross the border illegally, they know they're going to be let go.
So you heard that claim about the Yuma mayor, that he was panicking. But Steve, you and Mark Brody actually talked to the Yuma mayor last week about the situation there, because we had heard that they were bracing for, you know, some sort of humanitarian crisis, and this was his response.
Actually, everything's worked out pretty well. The community members themselves have stepped up for, you know, donations and to help these people that don't really have a whole lot of resources at their disposal. And the city itself has not had to expend any resources. There's been no public safety concerns. There's been no need to mobilize a police force or a fire department to address any urgencies.
Right, Jimmy. That was just before the weekend on Friday. The mayor told us he was responding to a tip from federal authorities that raised concern but never materialized. Now, before we let you go, I need to talk about this allegation that was made right at the end of the debate. McSally accused Kyrsten Sinema of treason. Where did that one come from?
McSally said she was referring to a CNN article published recently that talks about Sinema's previous anti-war activism, urging people to oppose the Iraq War, to oppose then-President George W. Bush. McSally was frustrated that she wasn't able to talk about the military. You know, she usually plays that up quite a bit in her presentation of her career. So she just kind of blurted out this accusation at the end of the debate, but then she repeated it in a press scrum after the debate. She said, quote, quote, "This is the definition of treason, saying it's okay for Americans to join our enemy."
KJZ's Jimmy Jenkins, who attended the one and only U.S. Senate debate between Sinem and McSally. Jimmy, thanks.
My pleasure, Steve.
One theme that both addressed had to do with change, sometimes an uncomfortable category for politicians. The Republican McSally was asked whether she had a different opinion of President Donald Trump now than when he was a candidate in 2016.
I was representing my district back in 2016. I was fighting for Southern Arizonans, and I was running my own campaign. But he's now in office and is the president of the United States. And we have this historic opportunity to move America in a new direction. And we've done that since he's been in office.
And the Democrat Sinema commented on whether she's been hiding her extremely liberal past.
Over time, I think it makes sense for individuals who are willing to learn and to grow.
With us to talk more about last night's exchange and what's next for the campaign is Howie Fisher of Capital Media Services. Howie, good morning.
Well, I'm glad to be here versus listening to that for another hour.
Well, briefly, before we get to some specifics, Howie, we here at KJZZ were hoping that there would be a second debate. There is not. So why is there only one debate between these two?
Well, I think a lot of it is each one is trying to figure out what the pluses and minuses are. You know, in general, the person who's up is not interested in debating. The problem has been, if you watch the polls for a while, McSally was up, then Sinema was up, and now we're sort of within the margin of error. I think a lot of it's going to come down to if anybody thinks there's a good reason. Now, they're each going to be doing the morning after today in terms of deciding who, in fact, did better, did worse. I think that in some ways that Sinema came off as a little robotic, and McSally came off as, you know, gee, Donald Trump's my best friend. And they're going to have to decide, do they need to do that again?
Well, so coming off the fact that we only had one debate, did voters get much out of that? As you mentioned, it almost felt as though they were both sort of playing roles, as you said. One talked about Trump, one didn't really give us much. So ultimately, did viewers and listeners get anything out of this?
No, I think it was more of an attack session, certainly from McSally's standpoint. She did what we all expected her to do, which is come out and say, the Kyrsten Sinema who's trying to sell herself for the U.S. Senate today is not the Kyrsten Sinema who was an anti-war activist in the college. She was not the Kyrsten Sinema who was a state legislator. You know, Sinema's job is to, particularly in a state where Republicans hold the edge, is to convince Republicans she's not dangerous, she's changed, she works across the aisle, and that they should vote for her versus somebody who is, you know, closely aligned herself, you know, right up to Donald Trump.
And President Trump will be in the Valley on Friday. Was McSally willing to answer directly questions about President Trump and how close she feels to him in terms of, I mean, I presume she wants him to be here this Friday, but that comes fraught with some risks as well. What do you make of how she's responding to that?
Oh, I think she is, to use a you know an expression, you know, she has firmly attached her lips to his keister. I think she recognizes the only path to the U.S. Senate for her is through Donald Trump, is through riling up the Republican base and getting them out. You know, she made it very clear that she supports the president 127%, no matter what he does. She supports the Supreme Court nominees. She supports the trade war he started. And she recognizes that if Republicans do not turn out or do not see her as a viable alternative to Sinema, who's pushing herself as a moderate, she loses. She needs Trump, and particularly since the latest polls show her running a few points behind. She definitely needs him. Now, understand this is a symbiotic relationship. He needs her to keep the U.S. Senate from becoming a Democrat affair, in which case you might as well blow up the last 2 years of the Trump administration.
So, Howie, how significant would it be if Kyrsten Sinema is able to win this seat? We know it's an off-year election. That's often bad for the party of the president. But Sinema does have an uphill battle. The fact that most polls show her a little bit ahead within the margin of error, how significant would this be for Democrats? And how disappointing would it be if she didn't win this?
Well, I think it would be very significant. You know, remember, the last time the Democrats had a U.S. senator was, you know, back in the 1970s, you know, when they elected Dennis DeConcini. Mm-hmm. The last statewide race that the Democrats won was back in 2006 with Janet Napolitano and Terry Goddard. So this would be very significant to show that Arizona has become, you know, more purple. I don't know there's a blue wave out there, but we'll have to see. In terms of, you know, what it means if she loses, you know, again, depends on the expectations. I think that certainly cements Arizona as a firmly red state for the foreseeable future. The other thing we're going to have to analyze is who comes out and vote. For years, we've heard that there is a large untapped Hispanic vote out there, and folks go out and get registered, but the Hispanic turnout has not been particularly high. And Kirsten needs that Hispanic turnout to vote Democratic for her and for other Democratic candidates.
Howie Fisher of Capital Media Services. Howie, thanks as always. And beautiful photo of you in the Arizona Republic this morning.
Oh, God, I'm almost afraid of what the hell that says.
Take care.